Hello, everyone. My name's Annika. Good to see you all today. I'd like you to think about yourself for a moment. Focus on your body. Close your eyes, if that helps. Think about the gentle aches that come with time, how your feet are falling asleep, or how the air bubble you suddenly notice is on top of your tongue. Now imagine with me for a moment that you could go further. Imagine you could know the exact activities of your organs. Being a macroorganism is so much less stressful when you can micromanage the smaller parts of it. Think now even further. Imagine being a part of a world where people would become acutely aware of every cell's exact movement and reaction at the slightest stimulus. You could sense a tick landing on your leg and know whether or not it had infected your cells with Lyme disease. Instead of complaining about nausea or pain, people would talk about the stone developing in their left kidney. We wouldn't have doctors, we'd simply have prescribers who treated problems that patients knew every detail of. Illness would become like a car crash, something you can't help witness but can't do anything about. How far would this knowledge go? Cellular? Molecular? Atomic? Subatomic? How much control could we be trusted with? How far would our minds be able to handle? What would awareness of your subatomic particles feel like, considering that we have not yet found a way to observe them at all? I found the answers to these questions in a quantum physics unit of my high school chemistry course. Just kidding, I found out that I can never know the answers to these questions. The best way to explain this is with an experiment. The double-slit experiment, first recorded by Thomas Young in 1803, goes like this. I'm going to try my best to describe this image to you. You're going to have to imagine a little bit. Picture a room with a wall dividing it in half, with a window in it, in the middle wall. You're on one side of the middle wall. Let's say you shoot some matter at that window in the middle wall, like water. You can assume that the opposite wall would have a shape of water on the top, on the opposite wall in the same shape as the slit. If you repeated this experiment, but this time with two slits in the dividing wall, you can imagine the same thing would happen. You'd have two corresponding marks on the opposite wall in the shape of the water you shot at it. In the double-slit experiment, researchers explored the movement of particles through the slit openings and then the movement of waves through the same opening. With waves, they found that the ripples of water passing through the double slit collide and create a specific repeating pattern. Though they create the same mark with one slit. You can watch this repeating pattern by dropping two things in a puddle of water and watching how the ripples interact. So when these two waves hit the opposing wall, the pattern that results is like one big stripe in the middle, with symmetrical stripes radiating outward, getting smaller in size. This is where the experiment gets interesting. Replace matter with a quantum particle of light. Take away your water and put in photons. Repeat the experiment again. Predictably, when sent through one slit, the pattern on the opposing wall is the same shape as the slit. But when sent through two slits, it created the same pattern as the wave. Up until then, scientists had treated light as a particle, not a wave. In order to find answers, the experiment was repeated, but this time the scientists watched the process instead of just looking at the resulting pattern. This time, the resulting pattern was the same as if it were a particle. The only variable that changed was the presence of an observer. Just watching what was happening changed what happened. We now, as Einstein theorized, know light to be both a particle and a wave. This was the first time scientists realized that they are an intrinsic part of the flow of energy they study. You cannot observe something without changing it. The presence of an observer is an important element of quantum physics. When you flip a coin, there is a moment when you don't know if it will be heads or tails. Until you look at the coin, it will be both heads and tails. If you flip a coin and never look at how it lands, it will be in a constant state of both heads and tails. All this we have evidence for, but we have no idea why it seems to be true. There is even strong evidence that suggests that reality doesn't exist unless measured. Socrates once said, "A life unmeasured is not worth living at all." It seems that a life unmeasured may not even be livable. The main argument against religion, especially theistic religions, is lack of evidence. How can you believe in something if you can't observe it? How can a god do such impossible things? But if you believe a god has blessed you, you know you have been blessed. If you watch beams of light on a wall opposite you, you know the light is real. If you break down either far enough, neither of them exist. Once you break down your reality, it becomes nothing. One of my more daring friends once asked me what religion I follow. Usually, I answer that with a vague, "I'm spiritual." This particular friend, however, has an unnerving talent for getting at the truth, so that's what I gave him. I took a deep breath and gave myself a mental pep talk and said, "I practice witchcraft." He stood in silence for a few seconds. I braced myself for the worst. He made a joke about knowing a girl who ran away to join a coven, then trying to recover, said, "I thought you loved science. Isn't that contradictory?" I couldn't help but notice the sweet scent of debate on that remark, and I readied myself. "Magic and science are exactly the same thing," I said, "and have absolutely nothing to do with each other. The reason I practice witchcraft is it makes the most sense in my own mind, which, by my own logic, doesn't exist." One of the most infamous science teachers at my school has a sign on his door that reads, "Magic is the science you don't understand." Once I realized that no one understands the most basic components of the scientific world, I realized that the core of the whole world is magic. Science, magic, and religion are all unexplainable. It was only when I understood this that I felt comfortable calling my spirituality magic. Here's something a little more tangible. As I practice it, a basic concept of witchcraft is that everything holds energy, and that is the source of all harm and help in the world. There is no universal good or bad, only how you interpret that energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, only moved and manipulated. Sound familiar? Here's a basic concept in science. Everything holds energy, and that is the source of all action in the world. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, only changed. There are different kinds of energy that can be manipulated to benefit or ruin the world. Physics tells us that there is a constant web of energy flowing through the world at large. It tells us we are inseparable from that web. Witchcraft tells us that we have a lot more control over that energy than we give ourselves credit for.